There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or its loss. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and all the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord." Yet in my heart the battle of war had come home. These battlefields of my own making, I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard the King of the fought all the battles for me, and their victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. It is finished, the battle. There'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord.
Well, that's what we celebrate at the end of this month, is the work of Christ has been finished, and we can be born again if we'll trust in the work of Calvary. Let's stand tonight. Let's sing praises to his name tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together.
You made the song.
Whoa. I think you're on the wrong song. We're on Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Oh, not, oh, praise the name. So, all right. It's awful hard to sing with the wrong tune, isn't it? Let's try it again. You made the starry holes. Here we go.
You made the starry holes. You traced the mountain peaks. You bring the evening skies. Sing his greatness, all creation.
Amen. You glad you're saved?
Amen.
It's so wonderful that we're able to praise the Lord tonight. Listen together. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
Above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. You know, God has a divine destiny for every born again believer. How many ears did Captain Kirk have? He had three. James says our salvation is a gift from God. It comes from a Father who loves us and cares for us so much. It comes from a God who's the Father of lights. You know, when I read that, I thought about the fourth day of creation. When God created the universe and he set the earth and the planets, he set the suns, the stars, and every one of them were placed in their orbit. And you know, everyone has been kept in their orbit, has not strayed or gone anywhere for ever since God created them. And I started to think, if God can do that, then he can, you know, he can preserve and secure my salvation. Captain Kirk had 3 ears. He had a right ear, had a left ear, and he had the final frontier. You know what? God's placed me on a divine destination, and I'm going to heaven. And then what a blessing to know that no matter what happens, I will make it to that final frontier. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for a great salvation that we have in Christ. Lord, who would think of so great a salvation but our great God? And so, Father, we're so thankful. Bless our time here today. Lord, thank you for those who gave today towards the work of the church. May you bless the offering. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I can't believe sometimes what the Holy Spirit does in the middle of a service. We're going to sing One Day, Brother Judge. You want to look that up for us? One Day. I just went over to the ladies and said, let's sing some songs about heaven. And then Brother Roberts got up and talked about our final frontier. And amen. I'm looking forward to heaven, aren't you?
Amen.
And I can't help believe the Lord wants us to sing about that tonight. So let's sing One Day When We All Get to Heaven. The name, and we sang that phrase, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Yes. That made me think about heaven and these songs tonight, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's sing Hymn of Heaven. This has become one of my favorite hymns, the Hymn of Heaven. Let's sing it together. And there's two songs in heaven that I know of from the Bible anyway. The Bible says they sang a new song. That'll be us, amen? Singing about our redemption and the blood that was shed and all those things. I don't know what the song sounds like, but it'll be good. Amen. And the other song is the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Listen as Donna sings tonight, "Echo Holy." You may be seated.
Thousand generations falling down.
Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight. Please turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And we're looking forward to the Man Up Conference at the end of this week. And I'd like to encourage you men, especially if you're coming. I hope you will come. Everybody should try to come. It's a good time. We heard Pastor Paulie preach yesterday with the young people in Michigan. Did a great job. And he'll be driving up on Friday, and he'll be here for our conference and preaching to us from the Word of God. The other preacher is a young man by the name of Kevin Folger, and he is the pastor of Cleveland Baptist Church. And many of you remember Pastor Thompson that served here at Bethel Baptist Church for a few months. and filling in, and he started the Cleveland Baptist Church. He turned it over to a man by the name of Kevin Folger, and now his son Pete Folger is the pastor there, and he'll be preaching at the Man Up Conference also. But I want to alert you men to something. We are going to need your help. All right, we've got this thing almost down to a science, and we've kept it very simple, so it's not very difficult. We will have everything set up, and all we need is we're going to need some help with food a little bit, and Brother Calvin will contact you maybe this week if he needs your help with food, and we also need help with tear down and clean up to get ready for Sunday. But again, it's not a lot of work. Other churches will pitch in, and we just need to put chairs back where they go and clean up the floors and things and get the garbage out and freshen up the bathrooms and things like that. And so if you can stay an extra hour on Saturday and help out with that, we'd appreciate it so much. And so Brother Calvin may contact you. Brother Roberts may contact you to get those jobs taken care of this week. And the good thing is if they call you, that means they're putting you in charge of something. And when you're in charge, you don't have to actually work, right? You just tell other people what to do. And so if you get the phone call, be excited about that, all right? No, I'm kidding. A good leader ought to work and pitch in. And so let's get it all done. Many hands make light work. And I don't know about you. I don't want to come to church on Sunday just dragging tired because nobody helped. But if we all work together, we'll get it done real quick, all right? And so let's do that on Saturday afternoon. Some of you will need your help Friday night for food, and we have the registration guys taken care of, and they'll help us on Friday and Saturday as well, all right? So if you haven't signed up, though, please sign up, all right? We want to know how much pizza to order and how many donuts to order. I shouldn't have told your wife there's no healthy food there, but I just did. And so anyway, come anyway, and we will not squeal on you if you have pizza and donuts, all right? Exodus chapter 3, let's look there tonight. Exodus chapter 3 is interesting as I'm preaching a message tonight just entitled Almighty God. Almighty God. And I don't know why, I've just been studying a little bit and looking at some of the names of God. And we have a gentleman here visiting tonight with his wife and some friends and came to Bethel years and years ago. Now they live in Kingston and they're just down for the day. And he was just telling us in the hallway, he says, you know what, the night I got saved, Pastor Strachan was preaching the name Yahweh, I am. And I thought, isn't that something? That's the first point of my message tonight. The Lord makes no mistakes, and so maybe, brother, you need to get saved all over again. I don't know. But anyway, we're glad that you're here, and if it brings back some memories for you, praise the Lord. He's already met many friends. If you remember these folks, come and say hi tonight. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the Mount of God, or the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, nor put off thy shoes from off thy feet, and the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. By the way, that's a great phrase to underline in your Bible. I know their sorrows. That'll help you in times of grief and despair. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, out of the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, I just find this interesting, just by just way of commentary. Notice the sign that Moses would receive. He said to him, I want you to go and lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses says, who am I that I should go and do this? And God said, I will go with thee. And a sign that I am with thee is that after you've brought them out, you'll worship me on this mountain. In other words, you act in faith, then I'll show you who I am. Then I'll show you that it was real. Now, we know that from the story of Moses and the leading forth of the Israelites, God showed his might and power every step of the way. But the promise made to Moses was, you go in faith first, and then you'll know a sign when you get back and we worship together on this mountaintop. And look what it says here in verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You know, I was reading, as we were reading the scripture, my mind rings back to the verse where God says, Moses, Moses. And Moses answered him, and what would we normally say? We would say, here I am. But Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing these scriptures, did not say, I am. He said, here am I. And I wondered in my heart, is that so he could say, I don't want for a minute to say I am. I don't want anybody to think that I am something special. I cannot write the words, here I am, but rather, here am I, because the great I am is about to reveal himself. Boy, we better be careful that when God uses us with his power and his might, that we do not claim some position that is not ours. Verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, now this is God speaking, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, or Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Let's pray. Father, help us today. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to understand the scriptures tonight. Lord, as we see your power revealed through your name, we pray, Lord, that it would help us to build our faith, that our faith might grow, that we might trust you a little bit more. You are almighty, all-powerful God. And so, Lord, help us with this reminder tonight to commit it to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, I need your help. Fill me with thy spirit, we pray. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just say by way of introduction tonight that your personal experience with God is a wonderful thing, but it only touches the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the very power of God. There's no man on earth that could ever say, I've experienced the fullness of his power. We need only look to the scriptures to find all the things that God did to say, I've never experienced that. I've never seen him personally work in that way. None of us can say that we've seen him part the waters or walk on the sea, and yet the scripture testifies to such power. We can't say that we have seen the God calm the stormy waters or to roll back a stone and release the Lord Jesus Christ and raise him from the dead. And yet we believe it to be true because we read it in the holy word of God. And yet to say that we've experienced his power is just such a small thing. But as we read the scriptures, more and more of his power is revealed to us. I'm just going to scratch the surface tonight. I'm just going to give you a few. But as we look at the names of God, I find it interesting that every name of God that we will look at tonight reveals an aspect of his power. Here's what I hope that we will take from this tonight. Let me give you the application first. I hope you understand that to say, put your faith in God, or you can trust in God, or to believe in God is not to believe into some impotent force, but instead we are believing in the omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful God. And by his names, he reveals himself to us.
Now in Exodus chapter 4 or 3, we read of the Lord Jesus, or God himself, coming to Moses on the mountain. As he reveals himself to Moses, he says, "Who shall I tell the people that you are?" Moses was about to go into Egypt, to the land of Goshen, and talk to the people of Israel and let them know that God had heard their cry and knows their suffering, and he's about to lead them out in power. And he says, "But when I go, if I'm your spokesperson, they must know your name. So who shall I say I come representing?" Now, I don't know if the people of Israel knew his name or not. I've heard people preach this passage and they say this is the first time that God ever reveals his name. But I don't know if I believe that, because the Bible says that in the days of Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so his name was already there and people were calling on the name of the Lord. And so it's very possible that they already knew his name, and Moses felt like they must know his name. And he says, "I'm going to your people." And they said, "Well, if you know his name, who's this God you're coming and representing? Who should I tell him is coming?" And God said, "I am that I am." It means the all-sufficient existing one. He exists outside of time and eternity. He is who he is. It is written in the scriptures with just consonants. There are no vowels as we pronounce the word Yahweh. Later on, we see in the next verse, in verse 14, "And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord," capital L-O-R-D, that is the word Yahweh, or also Jehovah, which means Almighty. The Jews had such a respect for his name, they would not even write the name Yahweh. As a matter of fact, save three times in all of Scripture, instead of writing just the consonants and not the entire word, they would substitute the word Adonai. The word Adonai means Lord, and that's where we get capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. We see Lord in other parts of the Bible, don't we? But this Lord, Adonai, means that it was the name Yahweh, the self-existent one. It means that he is eternal. It carries with it the meaning of the one who can redeem. When God said he is the I am, the great I am that I am, he's using his name Jehovah. And he's revealing to the Jews his name in the power that is demonstrated throughout Egypt. Think about that. As God says to Moses, "Go and tell them that I am hath sent me." And as Moses stood before the Israelites, and later he would stand before Pharaoh and proclaim the name of Yahweh, the name of Jehovah, the great I am, and said, "Let my people go." All 10 plagues demonstrated his power. That's the God we serve, all powerful and almighty. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, I'm just going to scratch on these tonight, just touch on them. We see another name of God in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The name God there is just simply Elohim. Elohim. It means the strong one. Listen to this. The possessor of all divine attributes and powers. Now, before I get to any more names of God, I need to clarify something. I believe in one God. Jehovah, or Yahweh, Elohim, or other names we'll look at tonight are all names that describe the very same God. When I was born, I was a son. When I was married, I became a husband. Not long after that, I became a father, and now I'm a grandfather. But it describes the same person, and it describes different attributes. You know, it's interesting my grandson will look at me with those eyes and that big smile, and I think, boy, you don't know who I really am. They just have trust and love. And they don't care about all your warts and wrinkles and where you've been and what you've done. And when we look at God, that's the same way we can look at him, because he has no warts or wrinkles. He is perfect and we can trust him. And every word that we will look at tonight describes the self-same God, the self-existent one, the almighty one, the all-powerful one. But the word here, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word Elohim is the strong one, the possessor of all divine attributes and power. It's the name God in the Bible. It is used more than any other name for God. It's his generic name, God. It is the name for God that the Jews understood created all things. Think about that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You know what the Bible says, though? The fool has said in his heart, there is no Elohim. There is no God. There is no one who possesses divine attributes. There's no one God in heaven that has the ability to do all these things. The atheist says there is no God. The evolutionist denies the very power of God. They say, oh no, we believe in God and we believe in evolution. No, no, by believing in evolution, you deny the very essence of God. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe he is the all-powerful creator. The fool stands in denial of all the workings of an all-powerful God. Turn over to Genesis 17. We'll look at another quickly. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, look at verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. In verse 1, we see the next name of God we'll look at tonight. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. The name for God we find in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, is El Shaddai. The Almighty God. This speaks of his omnipotence, but it has a specific key to it, and that's why we read the whole passage. Abraham had been promised by God that he would be made a great nation. In Genesis chapter 12, God came to him in Ur of the Chaldees and told him to come over to Canaan and God would make of him a great nation. And again, God makes the same promises in Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 16, they may have believed God's word, but perhaps not his power. And they begin to question God. But in Genesis chapter 17, God appears to Abraham as Almighty God. And with this title, he is saying to him, I am the covenant keeper. That's what El Shaddai intimates to us tonight. The fact that not only is he Almighty God, but that he is able to keep every covenant. Well, I tell you what, as a child of God tonight, that's important, isn't it? When he says he has sealed you unto the day of redemption, you better hope that he can keep his word. When he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, you better be thankful tonight he is El Shaddai. Amen. When he says that he is coming again to redeem us unto himself, praise God tonight he's El Shaddai. Amen. And that he will keep his word. And not only is he a man of his word, he has the power to stand behind it. Oh, there's so many today that will shake a hand or make an agreement. But we have very little power of ourselves, don't we? Isn't it interesting? I could go tonight and I could shake Brother Kevin's hand and I say, listen, Brother Kevin, I want to buy your car off you tonight and I will come tomorrow morning with $20,000 and I'll put it in your hand and I'd like to buy that Tesla. Wouldn't that be wonderful? $10,000? You saw him nod. I could shake his hand and we could come to an agreement. But if I die tonight, I do not have the power to keep my word. But God is El Shaddai. Not only does he have the power, he's everlasting. Somebody says it this way, God's not even sick. He doesn't even have a cold. There's no fear of God dying. There's no fear of him vacating his throne. He's not going to resign or retire. And so we can trust him to keep his word. Men break their word every day, but El Shaddai is all powerful and has the power to keep his commitments. I remember Sarah laughing at God. Do you remember that? And yet God still kept his covenant. How many times have we failed God and yet we're still saved? God keeps his word. How many times have we messed up and yet God still loves us and cares for us and provides for us because he keeps his word? That's El Shaddai. But then we see in Genesis chapter 22, isn't it interesting that God bursts onto scene in the first book of the Bible so often tonight? In Genesis chapter 22, we see another name. Of course, you remember again, here's Abraham. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And you remember the story as Abraham took his son and a couple servants, and he clave the wood, and he put it upon the back of that donkey, and they headed for the land of Moriah. And as they got to the border of that land, and Moses saw the mount afar off, he left the servants there and the donkey, and he took his son, and they took the wood, and they climbed that mountain themselves. And just as Abraham raised that knife, an angel stopped his hand. And he heard the voice of God, saying, God shall provide himself a lamb. And over in the thicket, he saw a little ram caught, and they sacrificed and they worshiped there together. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 22, and Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Now here's something that's interesting. We see the name Yahweh early on. The name Yahweh, again, they just put the consonants. They were so careful about the name of God, they didn't want to even write it. And they would substitute Adonai for Lord, and later we see the name Jehovah as the way they pronounced the name so that they could still have respect for the name of Yahweh. And now as men is developing, they take that name Jehovah. And up until now, we see the names of God that God has given himself or revealed himself to us. Adonai, Yahweh, and such. And we see those names, El Shaddai. But now we see Jehovah Jireh. And here's what I believe. I believe man is now starting to praise God through his name. So what's the difference? His name is Jehovah. But Abraham says, no, you're not just Jehovah, you're Jehovah Jireh. God sees and God supplies. God is so powerful, he takes care of all my needs. And so throughout the word of God now, we see the name Jehovah attached to many other compliments, if you will. We see Jehovah Jireh. We see Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. We see Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there. We see Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. We see Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And we'll look at a couple more of those. But I believe all these are songs of praise to our God. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is Jehovah Jireh. God sees and God supplies. How many of you tonight can call him Jehovah Jireh? God has supplied our needs. You know, I look at things a little differently than most people. I understand that. Sometimes people say, that's just a weird take on that. But I looked at that whole COVID thing as a good thing. I said, well, you're crazy. Listen, it got it down to the point where I could sit in my home and go, I've got everything I need, praise God. You know, there's a lot of things we can't do, but a lot of those things we can't do, we don't need anyway. So, well, I can't go to the bowling alley. Well, who cares? You don't need to go to the bowling alley. I can't do this. I can't. I had a roof over my head. I had food on my table. I had my heat come on every night. No problem. God provides. And we can be thankful for that. He is almighty. And even in the middle of a pandemic, he is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. He is able. God saw the Israelites as they wandered, and he supernaturally supplied manna and quail and water. So much quail, it came out their nostrils. Every time I get to say nostrils in the pulpit, I try to do that. I love that passage. It says, I'll give you so much quail, it'll come out your nostrils. God sees, and God, you think God, oh, God doesn't, God, does God really care about me? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And yet God sees when one falls. He knows your need, and he can take care of it. Are you not more precious than him? That word supply, when it says God sees and God supplies in Jireh, it means to fill to the brim, to furnish fully, but it also means to fulfill a covenant promise. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 6, we see, he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah was referring to the Christ that would come, and he called him Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's a different word, isn't it? T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. I even looked it up, and I had it pronounced on the internet for me, so I'd say it right. Jehovah Tsidkenu. It means the Lord, our righteousness. Isn't it amazing that God has the power, and again, we're talking about his power tonight, to take a sin-scarred, ruined life and impart his righteousness. Amen. Do you remember, in Word of God, there was different times it took place where men were afraid to see God lest they die. Moses asked to see God. God says, you can't look upon me or you'll die. He said, but here's what I'll do. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and I'll cover your eyes. And as I'm passing by, I'll let you see my back parts. No man can see God lest he die. But yet, when we're filled with his righteousness, one day we'll stand before God. And we'll see him face to face like we sang about in every song tonight. What a wonderful promise. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The power to save and convert a life.
To make it worthy to stand before a holy God. Jehovah Shalom. Judges chapter 6, verse 24. My time is almost gone, so I'll race through a couple more to give you a principle tonight.
Judges chapter 6 and verse 24, he is the Lord our peace, or Jehovah Shalom. Listen, peace in this context is not just the absence of hostility or the presence of tranquility. It is the ability to calm. God has the power to calm. As Jesus stood on the front of that boat, that ship that night, and he said, peace, be still. The wind and the waves obeyed him. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He goes before us. He is Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there. It speaks of his omniscience, the power to be everywhere and to know everything. He is omnipresent. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Bible describes God also as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Ancient of Days, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's described as the Judge, the Rock and the High Tower, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Bread of Life. He is the Water of Everlasting Life. He is the Resurrection and the Life. He is the Good Shepherd. And on we go, and every name conveys a special aspect of God's character, but everyone speaks of his limitless power. If there was some area in your life that God could not fix or solve, he would create a new name and have the power to take care of it. The names of God help us understand who he is and what he can do for us. That sounds selfish and self-serving, and I don't mean it to be, but God is a God who loves us very much. And when I need peace, I'm glad to know that he's Jehovah Shalom. And when I need provisions, I'm glad to know he's Jehovah Jireh. When I'm guilty and sin-stained, I'm glad to know he's Jehovah Tsidkenu, that he is our righteousness. And so though he is one God, he's saying to us, I can take care of everything you have, every need, every problem, every trial. He is Almighty God. Well, there should be some reaction in our hearts to understand tonight, as we understand the names of God and his word. Let me ask you this. Have you ever made an effort to understand the power of God? We throw out those words, well, he's Almighty God. He's all-powerful God. There's nothing too big for God. And we form those silly little riddles, do we? Can God make a rock too big that he can't push up a hill? Well, you just don't understand God. You're just being foolish. But if you want to know a personal God who loves you, get to know his names and how he's revealed himself to you. I have a little video on my phone. If I could show you, I would. I can't do it. I got a little video on my phone of my grandson watching us on live stream. And Emily says, who's that? And he goes, Papa! I love it. Oh, it makes my day. Yesterday he called me Papa. I love it. I love it. I wonder how God feels when we come to him and say, Lord, I know you're my supplier. Lord, I know you're my righteousness. And just go on down the line. He's not just God in a very generic sense. I mean, how long would it take us tonight just to go through all the things he is to us? I think that's the point of all his names, that he can reveal his power to us in a myriad of ways, that we might know him and love him more. Understand tonight, secondly, that God can work in your life personally. What do I mean by that? The name Elohim was a God-given name. The name Jehovah or Yahweh was God-given. But I believe the name Jehovah Jireh was given in praise. I think it's a name that Abraham coined right there. Now, the name Jehovah was already there, and the name Jireh was already there. But he put them together as Jehovah. I will call this place Jehovah Jireh. God sees and God supplies. The prophet said, one day there's one coming who we will call the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. There's one who is God our peace. Asking you tonight to add to Scripture, to take from Scripture. I'm not asking that. But do you have a personal name for God? You know what I've learned? That everybody has a different name for their grandparents. You notice that? They were trying to teach Theo to say Grandpa, but he just came out Papa. That's how it came out. Our little guy Bowden, they're teaching him to call me Papa. But for Emma's mom, they call her Baba. Baba is the Ukrainian word. She's Ukrainian. Ukrainian word for grandma, Baba. And we also think there's a conspiracy afoot because little babies say Baba, Baba, Baba all the time. And so his first word had to be grandma, right? But some here are known. That's a personal, intimate name. How do you address him? Some of you look back in your life and go, oh, I remember when he supplied. He's Jehovah Jireh to me. I'm so thankful for the peace that Christ gives. He's Jehovah Shalom to me. He's El Shaddai. I've seen him overcome disease and disaster in my life. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty God. How do you make it personal tonight? What is your name for God? But I want you to take one more thing tonight. We have an assurance because of these names of the power that he will keep his covenant. You know, sometimes we just need to step back and simplify things. And we look at things and I say, well, can you explain the rapture to me? Brother Eric, could you explain the rapture to me? And I'm like, oh my goodness, here we go. I'm going to tell you this. If you have 10 different preachers in the room, you'd have 11 different opinions. You really would. When is Christ coming? Here's what you really need to know. He's a God who can keep his word. He said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Somebody said one time to me, he was talking, and I wasn't sure what church or what camp he was in. I said, so are you pre-trib, pre-trib, are you post-trib, are you mid-trib? He goes, I'm pan-trib. I said, what's that? He goes, God's in control. It all pan out. I said, okay. Here's what you need to know. I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. More important than knowing all the different ins and outs is to know the one in whom we believe. And we're able to trust him because he will keep his word. If somebody says to you, well, how do you know the Lord is coming again? You say, because I know God. I know his nature. I know his character. He is almighty and he is able to keep his word. And so tonight it's not about necessarily all doctrine's important and doctrine divide. I understand that. But it's about the one who gives it all to us, all the doctrine, all his word. Listen, if you don't have a God who can keep his word isn't worth keeping. It's not worth following. But we have an almighty God. Father, help us tonight to understand. Thank you for who you are. We want to worship you and praise you for who you are. So help us, Lord, to be committed to the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us and placed us into the family of God and is almighty and all-powerful and able to keep his word. Help us, we pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Let's sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Can we do that? I think it's number 3 in your hymn books. Let's just sing. It's been in my mind ever since we sang those songs earlier. Let's just sing that. If you'd like to come pray, you come pray. If you want to thank God for one, maybe one of those names in your life tonight are very real and you want to thank God for that, go ahead and thank God. That'll be our invitation tonight. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's lift our voices.
Holy. Holy, 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 holy.
Amen. Well, don't forget, this week we have Man Up Conference Friday night starting at 5:30 for the early bird, 7 o'clock for the evening service, and on Saturday, 8 a.m. for the early bird, and 9 o'clock for the evening or the morning service. And so I hope that you might be able to come to some of those and be a part of that. We're looking forward to a great time. Again, Brother Calvin's in charge of food. Isn't that a scary thing? And so... yeah, it's like letting the fox watch the hen house. Anyway, we put him in charge of food. Brother Roberts is in charge of setting up and tearing down. He's kind of our coordinator and organizing things. And so you might be getting a call from one of those men this week to get some help. But just plan on pitching in. That's the main thing. If everybody just pitches in, we'll have it done in no time and get everything cleaned up. Last year went very well, very efficiently. And so we're thankful for that. Sunday night is cheesecake night. Isn't that wonderful? And so pizza, donuts, cheesecake in one weekend. Praise the Lord. And so you'll want to come and cheesecake night. We're also going to use it as a school fundraiser. And so we appreciate you donating the cheesecake and then also paying for it. We appreciate that very much. And we have no shame at Bethel Baptist Academy, I'll tell you. But the kids are really looking forward to a great trip. And thank you so much for both the spaghetti supper and the chili dinner. We raised quite a bit of money from them. But how many of you know it's just getting more expensive to do these things? And so I went down. The last time we went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I went down there and I got some gas on my credit card. And they called me and they said, "We've just closed your credit card. There's some fraud going on." And I said, "Really, fraud?" And they said, "Yes." And I said, they said, "We're just going to close your credit card." And I said, "Well, you can't do that. I'm down here with a dozen teenagers." I said, "They're going to starve." And so I talked them into letting them turn it back on. Praise the Lord. And we got home okay. But these things are expensive. And so we'll take cash if we can and try to stay out of that trouble. But please pray for us. We're looking forward to a good time. We're going to go down to the Sight and Sound Theater and see one of the productions there and do some touring around Amish country and we'll just be a good time. So pray for our young people. And so we have one more. This fundraiser, we'll see how much money we have. We may do one more in April, but we'll see. And so that's next week is Cheesecake Night. And then, of course, the following week is Resurrection Sunday. And we're looking forward to that. Some have said, what about our spring revival? We moved it this year because we had Man Up Conference, and then we have Resurrection Sunday the very next week. And so to have revival meetings in the middle like we usually do was getting very tiring. And then missions conference next month, just 2 weeks later, last year we did all four things back to back and staff were just wiped out. And so we decided we'd move our revival services this year to our fall, our anniversary services. We already had scheduled on the Sunday the Thren family. And if you remember the Thren family, they have 11 kids now. They all play instruments. They all sing. It's great, great music. And they're going to come. Brother Thren's an evangelist. And then I called him and he said, "Yeah, I can stay a few extra days." And so we're going to do our revival meetings right through that week as well with our anniversary services. So it'll be Saturday night banquet, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday revival meetings with the Thren family. But a week from this Sunday coming, or 2 weeks from today, March the 30th and 31st, Saturday night at 6 and Sunday at 10:30 a.m., there is a King, all right? And nice flyers for you, glossy flyers with the gospel on the back, invitation to the church, but also invitation to our resurrection community. Please take some of those. You know, if everybody in the room just handed out 5 this week, we'd have 500 put out in no time. And so please do that real this week and next week and make sure we're inviting people to come there as a King. Now, that email, I send out an email with a digital invitation. You can forward that to somebody. Forward it to everybody in your contact book. That'd be wonderful. Let me encourage you, when you hit forward, it says at the top, "This email came from your name." And I'll just erase all that and get it looking real nice, okay? And then hit send, and off it goes to all your contacts, and invite them to come. Also, Austin's put a campaign out on Facebook and an advertising campaign. Last year, he reached 27,000 people with that advertising campaign, and we just increased it only by $50 this year, and we expect that it'll reach about 40,000 people probably. And so it just starts in Simcoe and it goes out by kilometers, how far we go. And so you can like that, or you can repost that on your page. And I don't even know how to do all that. I'm not on Facebook, but if you know how to do it, go ahead and do that. Say like it, invite it, tag your friends. You know how to tag your friends in that? Do you know how to do that? You do. Ask my wife. Can I tell you what my wife did once? We're not online, are we? Okay, turn it up. My son Brendan had been seeing a girl.
And my wife fell in love with her. She's a great young lady. Well, that, you know, that didn't work out, whatever, how kids go through things. And so they moved on. And of course, he's married now. And she's married now. And when she got engaged, my wife didn't just like her engagement. Somehow she tagged herself on it. So it said the young lady's name, the young man's name, and my wife's name, all on the engagement photo. And my son was mortified. He says, "Ma." Anyway, she didn't even like his engagement photo, so I don't know what that was about. Anyway, so if you know how to do those things, pass that on. Because that just broadens our influence, right? And invite people to come to There Is a King. You say, why'd you tell that story? Because now you'll remember it. You'll go home and say, oh, I got to do my Facebook. I got to make sure I get that out there. So whatever social media, go ahead and post that and share that. If you don't know how to do it, get your grandkids to show you how to do it. They know how to do those things. But let's pray. That's the most important thing, isn't it? Let's pray for that weekend. Now, Sunday morning, 10:30, there's no Sunday school that day. We want you to be able to greet your visitors, bring them in, get them seated, sit with them, take them out to breakfast, whatever you need to do. But listen, this is not about... Let me just be frank. This is not about filling the building. All right? If we have 400 people here on Saturday night and they're all saved people, we've just entertained people, right? But if we have 20 people here and one gets saved, then it's worth it all. Amen. So that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to encourage people to come. And then Sunday morning, there's no Sunday school. And then Sunday night, we're not having Sunday evening service. We're going to move it to Saturday night, okay? That's an exhausting weekend, especially for the choir. They're here Friday rehearsing, they're here Saturday, they're here Sunday, singing, tired. We're busy greeting people and everything. So we're going to move Sunday night to Saturday night and let you have some family time on Sunday night, okay? And so that's our announcements. Brother Roberts, is there anything else we need to announce? You're good? All right, let's pray. Why don't you pray for us, brother?
Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our great God and how he supplies our needs. Father, we pray that you would bless all these programs and activities that we have, Lord. We pray you give a special blessing for our cantata. And on the Easter Sunday, Lord, we pray that you would just bring out people to come, that they would come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray you bless us tonight as we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.